Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:54 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 11th. I thought I would kick off today and look at 10-year Treasury yields because they are rising. And that is something that I think we need to pay particular attention to. The fact that we do have obviously got a short-term oversold condition on the yield, or an overextension, and it's really an overbought condition on Treasury prices, which is now being unwound. But concurrently, we have the S&P 500, which is still under really quite a lot of pressure. It is now around the 2700 level. It was not so long ago, it was 700 points higher. It's right in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. But it is not rising. And the bond equity balanced portfolio, 60-40 for the vast majority of investors, tends to rely on the fact that, generally speaking, when equities fall, bonds rise, and when bonds rise, equities fall, it's quite seldom that both go down together. But we've definitely seen that over the course of the last 3 days. Now, that kind of activity is something that tends to play havoc with a 60-40 portfolio, and it is worth reminding ourselves that the best performing mix of assets last year was a 60-40 bond equity mix. It had its best year in decades, and now the question is whether that can persist. We've had a really quite impressive rally in bond prices. We've had a very big pullback in equity prices. So far this year it would have worked, but the question is how long is that going to persist? In order to rebalance the portfolio, then equities are probably going to have to bounce soon, and they are in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, so it is possible. Now, what we've yet to see is a substantive plan of action from the USA. President Trump has certainly talked about it, but he hasn't announced anything yet, and he has promised to hold another press conference today, and that may yet act as a support for confidence. The UK in here today announced a very substantial stimulus package, and it has put downward pressure on the pound, and the pound is down now to 128, having been as high as 132 2 days ago. There is clear evidence that in the UK, the central bank and the government are acting in unison, and they attempted to defray the charge that this is an example of modern monetary theory by issuing fewer, or promising to issue fewer gilts than was anticipated. So that has at least sapped some of the accusation that we are now in modern monetary theory territory. But there is going to be a massive infrastructure build. There is going to be a clear effort to try and support the banking sector and the corporate sector from the slowdown in demand. Then there is going to be clear action by the central bank to try and support the market. Now, the FTSE 350 banks index was off its low in here over the course of the last few days. It still has got a lot of challenges in front of it, but what we have evidence of is that the UK at least is going to be willing to support the banking sector and the wider economy through massive monetary and fiscal stimulus. Crossing the channel and looking at Europe, Christine Lagarde in here today was very clearly stating to European parliamentarians that they have a clear risk of repeating the follies that led up to the financial crisis, and that the threat to the banking sector and the economy is on par with 2008. Of course, what the ECB has been trying to tell the governments of the EU for most of the last decade was that there was a clear requirement for fiscal stimulus, but the moral hazard that entailed was unpalatable to politicians, particularly in the creditor nations. What instead we are now starting to see is the economic drag on Italy from the coronavirus has been putting upward pressure on bond yields. Now, we did see that the yield contracted in here today, and that is supportive of the view that the ECB is back on a quantitative easing policy. When we look at the size of the ECB's balance sheet, then it is now at about 4.7 trillion euro and quite likely to trend higher from here. The downward pressure that we're seeing on economic activity in some of the hardest hit coronavirus markets is certainly very acute in Italy, and it has so far failed to rally, and it continues to pull back from the upper side of what is effectively a 10-year base formation. The bigger picture, of course, is when you look at the Euro Stoxx index for the Eurozone area. It has also failed to sustain its move above 400 and is now right back on the lows posted at the end of 2018. There is, I think, the clear potential that we are going to see substantial fiscal stimulus in Europe. They have been trying to hold the line on this for most of the last decade, but this has nothing to do with debt burdens in the various different countries and who owes who what. The kind of stimulus that's going to be required in order to stave off a significant economic deterioration as in a response to the coronavirus scare is obviously going to require all possible options being explored. That's part of the reason why the euro has started to unwind its recent strength. When we then think about where are we in terms of spreads, they had just begun to rise in here today, but we've started to see some evidence coming through that the ECB is supporting the Italian market, the Spanish market, the Greek market, and that is quite positive. It is the bigger picture, of course, is that this crisis represents an existential threat to the Eurozone and an inability to tackle this kind of threat to the integrity of the various economies in the region is something that could lead to the breakup of the Eurozone. So they haven't got a choice. They absolutely now have to engage in both monetary and fiscal stimulus, and much better off if those are coordinated efforts. Of course, where we've had some of the most coordinated efforts are in China, because the monetary and fiscal authorities are the same. The stock market there was in negative territory in here today, but it has been really a bastion of strength, particularly on a relative basis. But China is doing literally everything it can to get its economy back on track. They have seen firsthand what it means to close down the economy for nearly a month, and they also know that the kinds of risk that that entails for the corporate sector, what it does to leverage ratios and to the credit rating of companies, is something that is intolerable if growth is going to persist. Therefore, they've pretty much given up counting the number of new cases. They are willing to tolerate the proliferation of the virus in society and are willing to take the hit to the population that it represents, because it is most likely to affect elderly people. One of the, I think, more important points here is that the Nasdaq is still in the region of its upper side of the underlying trading range and the region of the trend mean. It was in negative territory today, but it is still above the 8,000 level. When we look at the largest companies in the world, then Microsoft, for example, is right in the region of its trend mean. Apple has also pulled back and is approximating the region of the trend mean. Netflix is, in fact, quite close to its peak, just on the assumption that people will watch more TV if they're locked in at home. The big question is whether the fact that people are not going to retail stores is going to be beneficial for Amazon. And the share has pulled back by about $70 in here today. It has been holding a sequence of higher reaction lows, but that's a big failed upside break over the course of the last 3 weeks. In other words, we're right in the region of a potential breakdown point, and that I think would be a really quite significant trend and consistency, because every other breakout from a significant trading range has been sustained until this one. And Amazon has been the buy the dip stock in this bull market, so I think it is one of the most important to keep an eye on. When we think about what's going on in the oil market, oil prices were down about a dollar in here today. We obviously have a deep oversold condition, but it is very hard to come up with a bullish prognostication here. There is a wall of new supply going to hit the market over the course of the next few weeks as Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Russia, all move to increase supply, and there is an aggressive move to try and capture market share. There are so many moving parts to what's going on in the oil market that it is difficult to get a I guess land on a single reason. But I think the biggest factor is that the pie stopped growing, that we are seeing the growth of renewables become a significant factor, that is something that is likely to represent one of the key features behind the aggressive move to cut prices today. They would much prefer to kill the renewable baby in the cradle than let it grow up to become a significant source of new supply. And that, I think, is one of the important points. But then, of course, there is the insurgency of unconventional supply from the USA, which is coming in at a higher price point. And all of these additional sources of new supply are a significant threat to the status quo, which may have been tolerable in the past, but the reality is that the pie has stopped growing, and that means the competition for what is essentially a global market that has the potential to contract is going to become progressively more aggressive. When we then think about gold, prices were in negative territory in here today as the dollar started to steady. But this doesn't really look like anything more than a consolidation. We have a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and the price has paused in the region of $1,700. It is hard to imagine, however, that we're going to see a significant drawdown, considering the threat of deflation, the outlook for interest rates, and the relatively rare attributes of gold. Silver prices are still right in the region of the trend mean, and we're in negative territory in here today. Platinum had spent most of the day in positive territory, but contracted towards the end of the session. I think platinum continues to be the most undervalued of the precious metals, but has not yet been able to sustain a recovery. And palladium now has clearly broken its uptrend consistency. It is pulling back in a dynamic manner into the underlying trading range, and this is by far the biggest pullback we've seen so far. I think it is reasonable to conclude that the bull market in palladium is over. And when we think about what is the easiest way to look at the market right now, I think we can just go back to first principles and think about, well, what is it that people were worried about before? In 2019, people were worried about fallen angel risk, the fact that there are corporate balance sheets that are highly levered, and that any kind of hit to business would represent a downgrade threat into junk status. So obviously that is now made worse by the coronavirus. And high yield spreads are continuing to move higher and have moved in a very abrupt manner over the course of just the last week. When we think about corporate profits, we've seen that they really haven't gone anywhere for most of the last 6 years. And That was at least partially tolerable because valuations had been increasing and corporate earnings had been reasonable. But there is the clear potential that corporate profits are going to break down the next time they are updated. And it is worth remembering that they are reported in arrears, are quarterly in arrears. So the corporate profits that will be reported for the next time out will be for the fourth quarter. And if they are weaker, they're almost certainly going to be weaker for the first quarter. That would suggest something else, that corporate profits are likely to be worse because of the coronavirus. So I think these are some of the things that are worth considering, that anything that people were worried about last year is going to be worse because of the coronavirus. And when we have leverage where it is right now, and the clear move that we've had into highly levered vehicles, then any kind of a threat to that those leverage ratios is going to have a knock-on effect. The bull markets that we've had in Australia and Canada, particularly in property, are something that is also likely to come under pressure as a result of the slowdown in China. The very clear pullback we've seen and massive reaction against the prevailing trend in both Canada and Australia is really quite acute, and we haven't seen a sharp pullback like this in really quite a prolonged period. In fact, the only time that we've had anything even remotely approaching this kind of pullback was in 2008. So now the big question is, well, what is going to arrest the decline compared to the kind of pullback we had in 2008? Well, the first, of course, would be that that a vaccine for the virus suddenly pops up and everyone immediately gets inoculated and the problem simply goes away. And obviously, that's impossible. We could be a year out from mass production of a vaccine. What is clearly required is massive testing. The only way that we're going to get an idea of who is infected and who isn't is to do mass testing and then quarantining the infected individuals. Once that has been achieved, then we can start to think about recovery. But we're just not there yet, and we're in the ramping up phase of infections rather than the control phase in a substantial number of countries. And that is likely to fall most particularly hard on some of the densest population countries. India is not really testing, so they just don't know how many cases they have. But the stock market there does remain at risk if the number of cases starts to rise. These are, I think, some of the most important characteristics that we certainly have risks. Now, the other point is that we are seeing massive monetary and fiscal stimulus on a global basis and often in a concerted manner between the monetary and fiscal authorities. So there is clear potential that we're going to see substantial assistance provided to the market. When we think about ratios or spreads like the TED spread, it has contracted somewhat, but it is not breaking on the upside. It is nowhere near the peaks that were being reached back in 2007, and certainly nothing like the ramp on the upside we had in 2008. Well, what that suggests is that there is some liquidity issue, but nothing compared to what we had back in 2007, because central banks and governments are doing absolutely their level best to ensure that there is ample liquidity. What that suggests is we are going to see the trough come in eventually, and when it does, we're likely to see a massive rebound in terms of pricing. So that is something I think is worth considering, that there is obviously still downward pressure. And I think one of the most important things to monitor is the interdependence between bonds and equities. And if bond prices and equity prices are falling together, that is going to put a lot of pressure on individual portfolios. It is also something that will alert central banks and governments to the need for additional stimulus. So there is no shortage of stimulus. Eventually, it is going to gain traction, and when it does, then we're going to have a low of at least medium-term significance. It's just we haven't seen it yet. And the question, of course, is how long is it going to take to see it? Well, there is no way to answer that question until we see the growth rate in the number of new infections moderate in the most heavily infected regions. Then we can't draw that conclusion. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.